We see Paul is addressing a huge problem in the church of Corinth. And to see in the context that he's writing or what was going on, we will have to go back into 1 Corinthians and see exactly what was happening and in what context Paul has written our today's passage. And when we go to 1 Corinthians and we read in first chapter, and we see that the church in Corinth was in great mess. It was a very disturbed church. People of the church were divided. And these people, those who were divided, only associated with certain leaders, those who had baptized them. And as they separated from each other, as they formed different groups, and as they were divided, slowly, somehow they started thinking better about themselves. And they thought the other group was not so good as good as they were. They considered themselves better than others. And then slowly, they became boastful about themselves. And they started becoming unkind of others and other groups. And started saying things that was not right in the sight of God. And this was the picture of a congregation. But not only congregation was divided, and not only the congregation was confused, even the leaders were not behaving straightly. They also, some of them, started thinking that they were super leaders. They started thinking very highly about themselves than other leaders. And even Paul and his other fellow leaders became very insignificant leaders for them, because they thought they were the great leaders. And in this confusion, in this disturbance, in this divided church, Paul is bringing today's passage. Today's passage is rich. And as I was looking at these verses, I couldn't make up my mind for some time where to really start, which verses I should pick for today's meditation, because every verse in that passage, it really gave me a very good understanding of God's expectation about us. But somehow I decided to focus on verse 7, 8, and 9. So we will look this morning, especially we will focus on verse 7, 8, and verse 9. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, and it is not from us." Here, Paul says that we all are jars of clay. We all know that the jars of clay, or a pot, or a vessel, is made to hold something in. We also call them container, which contains something in it. There's a marked difference between the container and the contents which is in it. And generally, usually, the contents are far, far superior than the container. And here Paul is painting this beautiful picture in which he himself sees as a pot or a jar of a clay in which God's all-surpassing power, the light of the gospel, is treasured in. And this was a humbling lesson for Corinthians, which also needs to be heard and understood in our time today. The easiest approach to our text will be to follow the flow of Paul's argument. And as he writes these few verses, he makes 3 points in these 3 verses. The first point Paul makes here is that we are nothing. Whatever we have, that is the gospel, is in us. That is the true treasure of every Christian. Whatever we have in us, that is the true treasure of Christians. He writes in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. But not only that, before coming to chapter 4, he also writes the same thing in chapter 3, where he emphasizes the gospel ministry is the glorious ministry, where he highlights the saving power, God's saving power that has given to us through gospel, which is God has treasured in us. So this glorious ministry that is stored in us, that sustains us in difficult times. And we should not be feeling too much great about ourselves, because we are nothing. We who believe in Christ are merely containers of the gospel, the light of God that he has treasured in us. And there is nothing glorious about us. We all know about earthly vessels. Earthly vessels, the pots of clay, they're common and they're cheap and easily available. You can buy them for very little price. Also, earthly vessels are fragile. And if you're not careful with it, you can easily break one. So Paul is writing, in fact, the treasures gain nothing from the pots. If anything, the pots gain from the glory of that treasure. So again, he makes this point very clear that we are just the pot in which God is holding his glory. Just like a flower pot. I mean, there's a behind flowers there. Can you see pot in that flower bunch? No. Whatever you see is just the flowers. And whenever we place these kind of pots, which is full with the flower, the intention is that people should see the beauty of flower. We are not thinking what is behind or beneath in that, hiding beneath it. You know, it's just a pot. It's insignificant. It's not meant to be seen, admired, or appreciated. What it just does, it just holds on these beautiful flowers in a way that it can be seen, appreciated, and it raises the value of this place. And this is exactly Paul saying, our job to do as a Christian. Hold on to the light of God so people can see it. The second point Paul makes here is that because we are a jars of clay, we meant to get broke or get cracked sometime when we are struck with this hardship and suffering. And Paul says when we are broken, when we get broken by hardship and suffering, we meant to manifest the light of the gospel which is hidden in us. And to see this example in life of Christ, Christ's life is a good example actually to demonstrate how it works. We all are getting ready for Lent. In coming next 40 days, we will. Some of us we will fast, give up the things that we like, and we'll try to remember Christ's suffering, what he went through, and try to gaze upon his majesty and his strength that he had, and we will focus upon his death on the cross. And as we think about Christ, how did Jesus reacted in his difficult time? What was his reaction when he suffered on the cross? We all know that when he was suffering, when he was hurt, the first sentence came out of his mouth on that cross was a statement of forgiveness, where he says, "Father, Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They were hurting him. They were inflicting pain on him. But he did not curse. But whatever came out of him came a forgiveness, love, and a prayer for their safety. And Jesus could do this because he was filled with the love of God, with the forgiveness of God. That pot of clay was filled with God's grace and God's light. And when he was broken on that cross, whatever came, we see the forgiveness, love, and goodness of God came out of him. There was no place for bitterness. Paul's saying is that we will all go through hardship and suffering. And sometimes this suffering and hardship will be so hard that we will break. But at the same time, Paul reminds us, as we break, he says that we also have an opportunity, it's given to us, to show God's light in this world. Hardship and suffering provides us golden opportunities to shine God's light in this world. How do we react when we get hurt, when someone does something wrong against us? We live in the society, we always seeking for fairness. And there is a quick reaction to action, you know, whatever is wrong done to us. But Paul is telling us that whenever we face injustice or we are hurt, we get an opportunity to demonstrate God's love and God's forgiveness in this dark world. I came into this country in year 1999, end of March, but just before I came in the same year, on 23rd of January, something terrible happened in one of the big states of India, state of Orissa, where one missionary and his two children were burned alive as they were resting in their car. Graham Stain is the name of this great man who was ministering among lepers with his family. And him and his two children, Timothy and Philip, were burned alive by, you know, different faith of activists, and they died in that attack. And it shook our nation. We all became very sad. It was a very painful moment. And in this all pain and suffering, Mrs. Stain, Gladys Stain, was she was in the focus in all this happening. And she was surrounded by a media and press. And we could see how she was suffering and the pain she was handling. But in this difficult time, when she faced media and press, very wisely she spoke. And whatever came out of her mouth was forgiveness. She said, "I forgive those who have killed my husband and my children." And she not only forgave, but also declared that she will continue her ministry in that area. The story I'm telling is that, the reason I'm telling you that, this was a terrible moment. You know, I'm sure some of you knew the story. And it shook us. It made us very angry. You know, Christian community was very angry. But at the same time, it provided an opportunity for Gladys Stain to show God's forgiveness in this dark world. And she used it. And when she stood, she said that she is forgiving all those who have inflicted this on her. Hardship and suffering breaks us. But Paul says that at the same time, they grant us an opportunity to shine God's light in this dark world. And the third point Paul is making here is, through suffering and hardship, we do get break. But he says that though we get break and though we get afflicted, Paul says God will never allow us to be destroyed completely. In the midst of our brokenness, it may appear that our suffering will completely going to destroy us. But Paul says that it is not true. God will not allow us to be destroyed by hardship and suffering. And as he writes in, that's what he writes in verse 8 and verse 9. He writes there, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Paul enumerates here four forms of intense suffering as we live in this world. But all of this is followed by great assurance, indicating that affliction will not result in complete failure or complete destruction. God reassures us in that we will not be destroyed through our hardship and our suffering. Paul writes, "We are afflicted, but not cursed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." So let's quickly see what he's trying to explain us in this four different points. Afflicted means affliction is a state of being in pain, where there's a constant pain, there's a constant pressure on us. And he reassures that doesn't matter how long that pain will endure, doesn't matter how long that pressure will keep on us, it will force us, will create great pressure on us. But he says that God will not allow that pressure to crush us down. In spite of great external pressure, we will not be crushed. Just like a submarine that descends to the depths and pressures without getting crushed, because it is made in such a way that it can descend deep down without getting pressed. There will be we will get affliction, but Paul says God has created in such a way that evil will not be able to crush us down. Secondly, he says that perplexed. And I just looked at the meaning of perplexed. It means that completely baffled or very puzzled. And that's very true. As a Christian, there are many incidences. There are many situations. We are confused. We don't know how to react. We don't know the answer. You know, and we are definitely have not a every single answer we have, that the situation that we face and the circumstances that takes place around us. But Paul says that though we are confused, though we are puzzled, someday we will know everything clearly. As he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he writes that now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But when we will see everything with perfect clarity, all that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely. Paul says this to us that though we are confused, we perhaps cannot answer correctly to the world or to the people around us at this stage. There will be a time God will make it clear to us and there will be no doubt in our mind. Yes, when the time of perfection will come, these partial things will become more clear to us. Thus, Paul says, we may be perplexed, but not despairing. Thirdly, he says that we are persecuted, but not forsaken. Well, I think Paul is the right person who can talk about persecution, isn't it? He is the man who dished out persecution as unbelievers. He went out killing and destroying Christians. And he is the man who was greatly persecuted and afflicted for being follower of Christ. So he knows what is meant being persecuted. Through experience, Paul tells us that though many may reject us, Man may leave us alone and left us to die, but God will never abandon us. Paul witnessed this traumatic this experience. Paul witnessed in dramatic fashion when they were stoning St. Stephen's. And he saw what happened as he was killed. He was saying that the heavens were open, and Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, waiting to receive him into heaven's glory. And Paul remembers that. And he tells us here that even when it seems so, we are never alone. God is always with us. We may get persecuted, but we are never forsaken. And fourthly, he says that we will get struck down, but we will not be destroyed. Paul's story from Acts 14 comes into mind. And we see he was in Lystra, and they became angry, and they stoned him. And they pulled him out and took him out of the city and left him there, thinking he died. But when the disciples came and stood around him, he got up and he went back in. Here Paul is not assuring us that we will never die as a martyr's death. Or he's not reassuring that we will never suffer hardship. But even if we do die, he say, that we are assured a future, a great resurrection in Jesus Christ, where there will be no affliction, no confusion, and no persecution. So these are the three points Paul makes. And just to conclude, we see that this passage clearly distinguishes between the container and the contents, and reminds us that we are just the jars of clay. And in us, what we carry is important, and that is the treasure of God. That is all surpassing power and glory of God that is stored in us. We have nothing to boast about ourselves. We are nothing. Same time, this passage also distinguishes between a true apostles and false apostles. True apostles, when struck down with a tragedy and hardship, will show love, patience, kindness, and forgiveness. And they will take every opportunity to shine God's light in this world. And when we go through intense suffering, we feel that we are just going to be finished, but we are reassured that we will not be abandoned or never be destroyed completely. Finally, through Christ, we are reassured of our future resurrection, where we will have no affliction, no confusion, and no persecution. So may God keep us and strengthen us in every way to endure every hardship and suffering of this world, and help us to use all these opportunities to shine his light in this darkened world. Amen.